The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
With the stock market at an all-time high and employment numbers moving in the right direction, many people are encouraged about the overall state of the economy. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to take a look at how that upswing is impacting the people who are educating the next generation of women and men in the business world. Joining us in the studio is Tim Smunt, the dean of UWM's Lubar School of Business, and we actually welcome Tim back. You've been with us before.
I have. It's been 4 years since I've joined UWM, and soon after I joined here, I was on your show. So this is a great time to be back and to talk about the economy and everything that we've done since then.
And what a 4 years it's been. My goodness, I think you came just as we were looking at some really challenging times in the economy, both locally and nationally, but it seems to be turning around now.
Yeah, I think most people would agree with you, Tom. Back in 2009 when I got here, things were not looking good yet. We had some hopes. We had some plans, you know, both in the economy and locally to do better. But right now, I think we're seeing that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel.
And is it because of policies coming out of Washington or because of things that that the business world itself has been able to do in terms of recovering from that shock, much of it caused by the housing debacle?
Well, I think it depends upon who you ask in terms of what really turned the economy around. Back in 2008, when we had the turnaround with the economy, I think most people looked at this and said, well, with the stimulus package that we did get, we may have averted a huge crisis, but it's going to take many years, probably at least 5 years to turn it around. And here we are in 2013, and it is finally turning around. That said, we also have a lot of economic crisis around the world that has slowed the U.S.'s economic recovery. But again, you know, if you take a look at the numbers, stock market is up, job growth is up slightly. It seems to be trending in the right direction now. The crisis in other parts of the world, let's say Europe, they're not resolved, but they are starting to get resolved to some extent. So I think there's optimism.
You know, one of the things that I've sensed personally as I read the headlines and listen to NPR every day and hear the reports of this slow but seemingly steady emergence of the American economy is how much more resilient the American economy is compared to a lot of parts of the world, which, as you point out a moment ago, still have some bumps along the road.
Well, that's a good point, Tom. You know, the U.S. economy is still the biggest economy in the world, and we've got great strengths here. The companies that we have based here are resilient. They have some of the best technology. They have some of the best products, and they certainly have some of the best people working for them. So, you know, when the U.S. has a problem, I think we will see the U.S. first to lead itself out of that problem. And here we are. And if you take a look at the companies based in Milwaukee, pretty much across the board, things are trending up for them.
Are there reasons why we would be doing better here in America than elsewhere in the world, beyond the fact that we've got this great ambition and this great drive that powers the world's largest economy?
Well, I think for one, we pretty much have a very good free market system. Now, of course, we have some issues with perhaps too much regulations causing some types of constraints on our economy. But nevertheless, we have a great free market system, and businesses are able to respond appropriately, you know, as the economy calls for it.
You know, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, Tim, is because as we take a look at this rebound of our economy, we also, of course, at the university, take a look at what impact it has on our students. And so if you could, for a moment, describe to us what's happening in your school, in the School of Business. Did you see a decline in enrollment at all when things were looking bleak a few years ago? And where do we stand today?
Yeah, good question. In fact, I remember my first week on the job and the first report that I received from my staff was showing a huge decline in our business school enrollment. And it wasn't totally surprising to me, but certainly not something I was hoping to see. And the next year, we had another decline. And this was a trend across the U.S. for business schools. I think,
was sort of in the depth of the recession, really.
It was, indeed. And if you think about the types of people who want to become business school students and then take business careers, at the time, they saw a lot of business people being laid off. And they were worried about going into that career. Of course, it would have been 4 or so years later before they actually graduated. But at the time, they were worried, and we saw a drop-off. But 3 years ago, things have turned around. That's partly the economy, and it's also partly the fact that we've redesigned our products, our programs, in order to address what's needed in this new economy. So what we saw at the undergraduate level was about an average of 5% increase over the past 3 years of students applying. At the MBA level, for the past 2 years, we've seen over 30% increase in applications. So we're very happy about that trend upwards.
You talk about the redesign of the program. What's different today at the Lubar School from 5 or 10 years ago in terms of how you teach or prepare people to be business women and men?
Well, I think we need to take a look at what's special about the Lubar School of Business. We're in the heart of Milwaukee, a very vibrant and large business community. And because of that, we have great strengths because of our connections to the business community as a business school. And in fact, when I came here, when I was interviewing for this position 4 years ago, I recognized that this was really something that was special, and we needed to strengthen that. So what we did 4 years ago was embark on a strategic planning process. And part of that was connecting with the business community to find out what they needed for the future managers of their companies.
And that story, of course, has evolved in the last few years. What businesses need today, probably a little bit different than before the Great Recession.
Indeed. Some of them are constant. Some of the needs are constant, but there are changes in the world. Technology is changing. The speed of change, is increasing. The types of workforce that we have are changing. We talk about the millennials, the younger students, what their needs are, and how we manage them and how they manage other people. So we embarked upon a number of discussions with the heads of businesses, along with talking to our students and our faculty and our staff. And what we learned was, at the undergraduate level, what the companies wanted more of were students who were ready to contribute right out of the chute. So they wanted us to give them deeper knowledge in that area of study. So, for example, if they're in marketing, take more marketing courses when you're here. Don't be as broad. Get very deep. Now, they still take many courses in the arts and sciences as a good overall background. In fact, about half of their studies are very general. But when they're taking the business courses, besides giving the general business courses across the whole company, spend time in marketing if you're a marketing major. If you're in finance, spend more time in finance. So we did that. We changed the requirements so that they had to take more in their field of study. And in fact, they're getting great jobs now. And right now, the demand for these undergraduate students coming out of their bachelor's program is great. By the time they graduate, before they graduate, over 50% of our students already have job offers.
Wow.
And have taken those jobs.
That's fantastic.
Within 6 months, over 90% of our graduates have offers, and the vast majority of those students are taking jobs in their field of study. So we can see great demand for them.
When you think about the 4 years, you talk about that broad sort of liberal arts education with a real specialty, a focus on the business classes. What does that mean in terms of the future employability of these students beyond that first job? Does what you're doing in those 4 years at the Lubar School, how does that perhaps predict what happens 5 years or 10 years down the road in your career?
Well, I think the most successful graduates from a business program, including ours, will be those that have really good expert knowledge to do their job well in the first, let's say, 5 or so years of their career. In addition, though, by having this well-rounded background, they'll be able to interact, working on teams, with people around the world. And that was the other point that we found, is that production, any types of business, is becoming more global. And now you're working with people who are from China, who may be living in China, or people from India, who may be living in India, or with Americans living in any of those countries, but you may be here in the U.S., or you may be in China interacting with people in the U.S. So the ability to work as a team across cultural boundaries and even across time zones is important. And that's what our students are getting with this well-rounded education. Now, going forward, if they want to become the leaders of those organizations, they probably have to go back to school and get an MBA.
And that's where the increase, that 30% increase in enrollment in the graduate program comes in.
I think it is. Interestingly, during recessions, and this has happened during every recession that I'm familiar with, the demand for MBA programs goes down. For one, the companies don't support them as well. People are worried about losing the job that they have right now, so they stick with it. But as the economy starts getting better, they see that new leadership talent is needed. The company starts supporting it more, and the people working in those companies see the opportunities. So we also asked these companies, what do you want from our MBA students? What type of training do you need for them? And is that different than what they got as an undergraduate student? And it was clear. They wanted something different. Besides getting, you know, an increased level of business functions across the board, they really wanted students to be able to think critically. And that makes sense because the problems are getting much more complex than they were before, and the old answers don't work anymore. Now, interestingly, we found that the Stanford MBA program recently redesigned their program with this idea in mind. So their idea was to add a component of critical analytical thinking, and we did the same. In fact, we benchmarked them, and we actually brought the professor who designed their program on critical analytical thinking to the Lubar School to talk to the faculty so we could get a better design of our program.
And when you think about critical thinking, I translate that into really knowing how to solve problems, right? I mean, that really, at the end of the day, is what businesses need.
Well, exactly. It's how to solve problems, and it's how to communicate your solutions and how to talk to other people. So this whole idea of being able to think critically is also how do you communicate well on those ideas. So we always had a part of our programs to focus on communication, but now we have even more in our programs on that issue, and we're doing it in a different way because, again, we're trying to get people to think quickly, dynamically, for all these new problems that happen very quickly in the world.
You talk about the world, Tim, and the fact that that we have companies here with operations in China and South America, South Africa, and the like. So we know that that there is this movement of people living in Milwaukee, but maybe spending part of their year working in another country where they have relationships with fellow coworkers. What's the Lubar School doing to prepare people for that international experience? Is it study abroad or is it more foreign language? What should a business person be thinking of if they indeed are going to be at the top of their game on this world stage?
Well, you mentioned two of the few that we're working on. So, of course, doing some type of study abroad program is enlightening. I remember the first time that I visited China about 10 years ago. And I had traveled the world, and I've seen other countries, but I hadn't been to China until 10 years ago, and I went with a group of students. It was eye-opening to see where their economy was going, how they were developing their industries, and understanding what that would mean for the U.S. economy going forward. So to have a student go to China or to South America, you know, or to Europe to understand what is different and what is the same is enlightening. And all of our students come back usually from these two-week programs, basically awed by what they learned. So we encourage as many students who we can to go on these study abroad programs. Of course, learning another language is important. You know, it's fortunate for people who grew up in the U.S. that English is the world business language. So you can go around the world in business and still speak English. But it is much more effective if you have a second or third language depending upon the countries where you are interacting. So we encourage that. Now, the third thing that we're doing is to try to bring more international students into our classrooms here. We recognize that many of our students, especially at UWM, don't have the financial resources to afford these international trips. So if we can't get them to the other country, we can bring the other countries to them by bringing in qualified students from China and India, South America, Europe, and so forth. And we're working really hard to increase the percentage of international students in our programs right here in Milwaukee.
So that cross-pollination is a great way to give people that international flavor without necessarily the big sticker shock of a plane ticket or weeks or months in another country paying those expenses.
It is. I would encourage the students to also go on the international trips that we have and to understand and work with the students that we have here, because they get different types of benefits from either of those.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio this week is Tim Smunt. Tim is the dean of the Lubar School of Business at UWM, one of the great jewels at the university. And Tim, we were talking a moment ago about the MBA program. You also have one of the most recognized executive MBA programs around, don't you?
We do. It's actually one of the oldest executive MBA programs in the U.S. It's been running for 37 years, and it produces a lot of CEOs, CFOs, COOs, and the like. We have probably about 30% of our alums from the executive MBA programs working as CEOs now. About another 30% are working as vice presidents or other C-level positions. And others are working as directors or in other leadership positions. So it's a great program. It's a small program. We get about 25 to 35 students each year in that program. It's very intensive. They work together and they learn from each other. And in the end, their leadership skills and their understanding of global business is very much heightened, I think.
Well, and that program is particularly important from my standpoint as I think about the development of Milwaukee, because a lot of those folks are working at those Fortune 500 companies that are either major operations here or in many cases headquartered here in Milwaukee or southeastern Wisconsin.
Well, indeed, and we have great connections to the business community, as we pointed out earlier. And one way we get those is because many of our alums are in the leadership roles of these corporations. And the question is, well, what does that do for us? It does a lot of different things. For example, you know, we get a lot of guest speakers to come into our classes because they live and work right next door to us. So our students get the advantage of having high-level executives speak to them about real problems that are occurring in their, you know, in their company right now. There are so many great paid internships at these companies because we're right next door. So students who come to our business school, because we're located in the heart of a business community, have an opportunity for some great internships, have a way to help them afford their education because they get paid for these, and they're leaving with sometimes over a year's worth of real work experience before they take on the next job.
And you really can't underestimate the value of what those internships mean today, especially when you think about that person looking for that first job when they graduate.
Indeed. In fact, I was talking to the CEO of one of the largest corporations that are based in this town. And back in 2009 and 2010, when hiring was really low, he told me outright, we only hire those students who work for us as interns. And even now, we find that the likelihood of getting a great job is much higher if you have one of these internships. And indeed, over 50% of our students are working in paid internships at major corporations and other, you know, other types of organizations in town.
So those parents out there listening to the program who have kids in college and looking at how they can give them some advice, maybe one of the most important pieces is don't graduate without an internship.
Indeed, and we're working towards making sure that anybody who wants an internship can get one. And I think for the most part, that's what our students find. We're trying to encourage more students to take on internships, even if they don't need the extra financial resources, because that type of job really sets them up for a great job coming out of the program and for the future. So beyond that, we're also we've also designed a new course for our undergraduates, which helps them prepare for their career. And even if they're not taking an internship, they are getting to hear from many different executives in their field of study about what types of different career opportunities there are for their major. We even help them write their resumes and teach them how to do that well, and even what the protocol is for a business dinner.
I was going to ask you about that. I actually saw a story that you have folks, young students, sitting down with forks and knives and other utensils in front of them saying, here's the do's and here's the don'ts. What's behind that?
Well, you know, we hire an expert to do that for us. And what's behind that is that management is all about relationships. And many of the relationships that you have in business are over a meal. And one needs to understand the proper way to dine. And we give those students something that they may not have learned from their own background. You know, we have a lot of first-generation college students with us. In fact, I am one myself. And when I was a student, I would have loved to have had that type of opportunity to learn how to appropriately dine with business partners. And our students love it. It really is helpful for them.
Tim, we've been talking a lot about people who major in business, either as an undergraduate or coming back for the MBA. But let me relate to you a story that my daughter shared with me. She was a music major, music performer, went on, got her graduate degree, and very, very accomplished in the fine arts. But now she has her own business. She runs a flute studio and has 35 students. And she told me a few years ago when she got this wonderful operation going that her one regret when she was in 6 years of college is she never had a business class. And so she had to figure out on her own how to go ahead and create a system to track her finances and, you know, make sure people were paying her and even advertising what has become a very, very successful venture for her. What can you do, or does a business school like Lubar do to address that need for people who may think that they're not going to work in business, but actually maybe needing a lot of those business skills when they get into the job that they ultimately end up in?
Well, it sounds like your daughter has done a great job of learning it on her own.
She's a self-starter. I got to tell you, I'm very proud of her, but I think she could have used a course to save her a lot of grief.
Well, we have something more than that now. And just this fall, we're launching a new program, a new master's degree program, and we call it an MS in Management, a Master in Science in Management. And we're the sixth business school in the U.S. to start one of these programs. And right after we announced ours, Northwestern University and Notre Dame, right here in our region, announced theirs. And I say that just to tell you that you're not the only parent thinking about what's the next step. So what this program is about is to take those students who have studied something other than business as an undergraduate. So if you study business, you can't go into this program. It has to be something other than business. And then learn the business basics. And part of that is a practicum study. So they're going to do a study with a real company across the whole year and compete against other teams looking at how to solve some real and current problems that major companies in this town need help on. So we're just starting that this fall, and we think it's going to be a great program. And obviously there's a lot of students out there, you know, who this is perfect for. In fact, I sometimes use this tagline, and we officially don't use it, but for me this is putting your passion to work. So let's say you study biology, and you don't want to become a doctor, but you want to go into business, maybe in pharmaceuticals. Learning the business part of this is going to be very helpful in your career. Or if you have an art degree and you want to do theater management or start an art gallery, you know, where do those management skills come from? We can help you with that.
Yeah, especially at a lot of those small not-for-profits where the folks may gravitate for that first job, they probably aren't equipped to teach people those basic skills because of their size. They're not like a big Fortune 500.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not only the small nonprofits that are looking for these types of students. In fact, what I hear from the major corporations is that they would like to have students that understand business, but that come from a highly diverse background. Because again, we're trying to get students or managers ultimately who can think broadly. And putting together a team of people, some who have studied business, some who have studied art, some who have studied engineering, makes it a powerful team. And having that type of connectivity in your company and, you know, and free and creative thinking is powerful.
Just a few minutes left, and I do want to get to this topic because it's been in so many stories lately, and that's entrepreneurism. What's the Lubar School doing to address what has become a real buzzword in terms of the new economy, making us more entrepreneurial?
Well, we're doing a lot right now. You know, First of all, I think we have to understand that entrepreneurs come from everywhere. You know, they come from engineering, they can come from art, they can come from business. And what we are looking at the Lubar School is, what is the Lubar Business School's unique advantage in terms of training our students to become more successful entrepreneurs? So if you think about innovation, maybe an engineering student has a new product. The question is, how do they manage that business? How do they get it to the market? Where do they get financing? How do they do a business plan? Well, these are the skills that we teach. So we have a number of entrepreneurship courses that help them go through that process.
And you don't have to major in business. You could slip in and take a course and then go back to School of Engineering or biology.
Yeah, indeed. They can take a course or two, or they can take a set of courses that provides them with a certificate in entrepreneurship. And we have certificates at either the undergraduate or graduate level. In fact, we expect to launch a new type of entrepreneurship certificate, which we're calling the Certificate in Technology Entrepreneurship, which is jointly taught by faculty in the College of Engineering and the School of Business.
You know, we hear so much from young people today. I work a lot with student recruitment, and many of the kids, and I can call them kids, 17, 18-year-olds, come in saying, I want my own business, thinking that somewhere in their background, somebody said, work for yourself. And that really is going to require those entrepreneurial skills or training before they get out into the work world.
Yeah, indeed. Most new businesses fail. That's the statistic. But we can increase the probability that you'll be successful by being well-trained in how to start a new business and how to run it. In fact, you know, we are now looking at piloting a new course for freshmen that gives them the first set of skills in entrepreneurship. And we're looking at this, and I'm thinking about this as, wouldn't it be great if every student who came to UWM took this course in entrepreneurship? What a great new paradigm that would be for our students coming to this great university. So we plan to start this new freshman course. It won't be required for everybody. It'll be optional. But we plan to start this next year. And I think it has a lot of opportunities. And we'll see where we go from there.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, because it really does give you that head start. And it sounds like the key right now for any student who's interested in working once they get out, and that's all 100% of them, is distinguishing themselves from the competition, from the other 99% of the students.
Exactly. And Chancellor Lovell is certainly very supportive of the entrepreneurship and innovation theme for our campus. And I think it's a great theme. And I think that the Lubar School has a great role to play in that ecosystem of business, both entrepreneurial and just the normal types of corporations and business that you think of. Because even the mature corporations, the ones who have been around for hundreds of years, let's say 100 years, they need entrepreneurial thinking within their own organization. They need that same type of creativity. They need new products. They need new processes. So this type of skill is good for everybody.
Well, Tim, we wish you the very best, not just on the Entrepreneur Program, but on the array of programs that are making a big mark here in Milwaukee. We thank you for your time today.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's been a great 4 years, and we've had great support from the business community and the faculty and staff of the Lubar School. And it's showing up now, because we are getting not only national recognition for our excellence, but it's also becoming worldwide.
Tim Smunt, Dean of the Lubar School of Business, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. See you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.